Okay, we are rolling.
Do we have a musical intro?
Yes, but I put that in post. So.
Oh, okay.
They say never work with children or animals, never discuss religion or politics. Good morning, Mrs. Strawberry, and good morning, Mrs. Assumption. Today, we're breaking all the rules. Well, some of them. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Shane Adamchuk, and my guest this episode is occasional, but award-winning filmmaker, the Grand High Priestess of the Victoria, BC chapter of the Silent Book Club. His name is Malcolm Johnston, and he is going to be joining us as we try to make the world a better place, one word at a time. Our word this week is assumption. The podcast goes for 25 minutes, but like I said, today we're breaking all the rules. But first, as always, it is time for the three-point check and some home truths. Malcolm Johnstone, welcome to the show. How is your head? How is your heart? And how is your tummy?
Okay. I think the head is good, relatively clear. I got enough sleep last night, so that's always good. And I think I didn't nap this afternoon because every time I do that, then suddenly I'm like, bleh. And then at 4 in the morning, I'm like, why can't I get to sleep? Oh, yeah, because I was an idiot and took a nap. So classic. Didn't do that. The heart's fine, both in the just general physical sense. I actually have a monitoring blood pressure. This is one of the joys of being, once you get into your 50s, you get to, there's all sorts of potential ailments you get to talk about.
I've got so much to look forward to.
You certainly do, Shane. You certainly do. And the tummy's, I mean, good. And I think as I was telling you just before, I was making some wings for a get-together tomorrow, which will be playing this game called Dungeons & Dragons, which is the first time I have played said game in forever years.
Amazing. Love it.
So, yeah. Of course, the other thing is with the tummy is there's probably a couple butterflies fluttering around there because, you know, first of all, I'm never that happy with hearing my own voice. So I will, when I listen back to this, which I will, I'll be like, oh, did I have to say the word so much?
Unfortunately, I will not be editing any of them out.
Oh, of course not. I've heard enough of this to know that, nope. Once you make a commitment, you're in. You're in like well,
you sound absolutely great on okay. My end.
I was not looking for that compliment, yeah. Gentle listeners. Just want to let you know.
And just hearing any Canadian accent always brings joy to my heart.
Nice.
Now, as my guest, before we get into the rule breaking of this episode, as my guest, one of the things is you do get to ask me a question. It can be as serious or silly as you like. And my only job is to give you as honest an answer as I possibly can. So the floor is yours. Before we start to break all the rules, what would you like to ask?
Well, obviously, the question is, what led you to establish the rules of the format of your podcast and the way you have done?
I wanted to have a podcast that was bite-sized, hence the time limit. I wanted one, like, because I love longer podcasts as well, but if there's something that I can listen to in its entirety, like on my drive to work or on my drive home from work or whatever, I love that. So that's why I set the time limit. I didn't want to have a lot of rules. I wanted the guests to come in. You know, we have a little intro up the top. We introduce their word. I ask them the three-point check. They ask me a question. Other than that, it's free form. I just wanted every episode to have a little bit of structure up top, but then have the room to go anywhere we wanted, basically, within 25 minutes. So chaos cool. within a tight structure was the
point. Alrighty.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, one slight correction to that wonderful intro that you gave me. You called me the High Priestess of
the Grand High Priestess. It's a title that's made up, but I thought it sounded important.
Yes, I mean, the phrase I have used is the Grand Poobah.
Oh, okay.
So that is a semi-formal official title. I have one woman who is like the other administrator for the Facebook group we have, who I have called the Prime Minister of Pages.
Ooh.
How well do you know much about Silent Book Club?
I know nothing. I was going to ask you, what is a Silent Book Club?
Okay, it's a concept.
This is what I imagine it is before you tell me the truth.
Oh, okay. Oh, I've heard many different interpretations. So
for, I'm going to say, just, an hour a week, seven people get in a room and silently just read the same book and then leave. that's what I imagine it is.
That's more inventive than a lot of. I mean, I've gotten a fair few of the, we don't talk about Silent Book Club. That's the first rule.
Okay, so explain to me what Silent Book Club is.
Okay, I heard about this concept in the summer of 2019, started by two friends in San Francisco who were like, you know, I like book clubs, but I just wish it didn't feel so much like doing damn homework.
Yes, yes.
So they workshopped, kicked around the idea, and then that's when they came up with Silent Book Club. The idea is you gather at wherever, bring your own book, whatever book you're reading or been meaning to read or whichever.
Okay.
And then you gather at a place. I tend to pick a pub because I like, it's a fun atmosphere. I like the atmosphere around there and all that. And then you can order food or drinks, you know, separately. I'll cover the water, maybe bread if I'm feeling generous. And then we all read for about an hour. That's usually, we've been like an hour is about good. It's about the right amount of time. And then afterwards we go around and say things like, well, I'm reading this book right now because I heard about it through such and such. And it's not quite what I expected. And yet I'm actually glad for that. And here's why. And then, yeah, just go around. So you hear about other books, you get an ideas of, oh, okay, you're reading Dostoevsky. I've never tried to crack that one before. So how are you finding it? Because I know you've taken some Russian classes, et cetera, and so forth. So yeah, there are now chapters all across the planet. I'm near positive there's one in Perth.
That's cool. Just
look up Silent Book Club.
I love that. My mum's in a quote unquote proper book club. And every time she tells me about it, I'm like, that just sounds like homework to me. And that sounds terrible.
It's like,
it sounds like ew.
There's like always that one person who is ahead of everyone else and almost but not quite shows off about it. Not enough to officially call them out, but it's just like, oh, come on.
All right, you've already read it, whatever.
Yeah, no, it's like you're showing off your knowledge of like, oh, wait till you get to, stop it! Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So yeah, so I was like, we need this here. Victoria's a book town for sure, so... And then I found out there still isn't one in Vancouver. So it's like, too slow, Vancouver.
That's why you're the grand poobah, Malcolm.
Yes, of at least the province of British Columbia.
Which is pretty good. I love BC. It's beautiful.
Yeah. And yes. And of course, here's our first establishing of terms and definitions that in Canada, we don't have states. We have provinces.
What? Oh, I don't understand. We've lost all the Australian listeners now. Great.
I know. But we do have territories. Same as Northern Territory. We have three, also in the north, so to speak. Yukon, Northwest Territory, and Nunavut, which was created in 1999.
It was that recent, really?
For Nunavut, yes. The third one, which was sort of like chopped off a bit of Northwest and like, this is a specifically Inuit focused based here, whereas the other two are more slightly more mixed population.
All right. So, yeah. We should get into your word because it's a big one and it's a good one. And it comes with a bonus word from me, but we'll get into that a little bit later.
The word is
assumption.
Yes.
Why have you chosen that word, Malcolm?
Well, the context and what I kind of want to be talking about is, first of all, let's face it, assumptions are tricky things. They're nasty things.
They will
trip you up.
Yeah.
But the first thing is to recognize that you are assumed that there's an assumption or that something is an assumption. And then just recognizing that alone can then be like, okay, why did I assume that? The particular context I want to talk about this, and that I especially wanted to talk about this with yourself, having heard a few of your podcasts, and is you guys just had an election.
We sure did. And it was a doozy. Politics.
That's right. Which, first of all, confession time. I am a recovering political science junkie, for lack of a better term. I worked the 12 steps. I'm aware of, I'm aware of my addictions. You know, I am helpless before my opinion poll shaped higher power. It's like you work the steps, man.
Look, Malcolm, honestly, if we're going to talk politics on this show, it's important that at least one of us knows what we're talking about. And I'm glad that it's you.
Okay, fair enough. Whether that'll lead to an actual invite coming back to the show or not is a whole other thing, but we'll discover
already let you break the rules before even being on the show once, so
true.
It's a good sign.
And yet at the same point that your internet has cocked out at least a couple of times, so you know, let's not read too much into that. But
well, let's talk about the great Australian government that brought us the NBN network here in Australia, which is supposed to be the fastest internet we've ever had in Australia. It is easily slower than the internet I was using basic internet in Canada when I lived there about 10 years ago. So
that's
where we're at.
Okay, fair enough. But here's one particular take on politics also to come into. I fully admit that those of us who pay too much attention to politics at times should cut back maybe 10%.
Sure.
I think use that as a baseline. But in compensation, I think those who don't pay attention to it need to up their game by bare minimum 15%.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fair. I have very much up to my early 30s tried to avoid politics as much as I could. But as I'm sure you can attest to, as you get older, it affects your life a lot more and you kind of have to get involved. Otherwise, you're just a schmuck going along for a ride with a bunch of jerks telling you what to do.
Yes. And the thing is about it, it's not that everything is political. It's that anything can be political. And often it is things you don't even realize or that, you know, it's like, oh, well, this seems perfectly innocent. And then suddenly, what do you mean we're all now marching to the death camps? Like, what? When did this happen again?
Yeah. And you get to that point where you can be watching the news from overseas and going, oh, man, America's fucked up. America's so crazy with all this stuff that's happening. And then you look, you know, in your own doorstep, you're like,
there's been a lot of
oopsies. We've done a bad to the refugees as well. Quite bad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah. And I think, I mean, part of the thing is that, let's face it, not everyone has time to go and learn out everything there is about politics. That's just the nature of human society. But my take is that, yeah, it can be any different level. And a lot of people ignore certain levels, like not realizing how much, say, municipal stuff can affect you and affect you far more directly than thing from federal government or state/provincial level.
And one thing that we were talking about as we were chatting the other day is the fact that here, when it's a federal election, everyone in Australia has to vote.
That's right.
It's not the same in Canada. So there's a level to that where it's like everyone gets their say, but also there's a lot of people who are going to be having, you know, very uneducated votes.
Yes.
Or, you know, just going, well, I don't know, the man outside handed me a pamphlet that said to vote like this, so I'm going to do that. So it is kind of like, it's important to be at least, you know, on the very minimal level, like informed of what you're voting for, who you're voting for, and what their policies are.
Yes. Yeah. And here's where the word assumption first kicks in. The amount of times I hear or look or see the assumption that, well, this guy is conservative, so that means he's going to be good for business. And it's like, no, that's just a lazy ass assumption at this point. There's many times aspects of the economy, and we can have a separate talk about that at some point that I still cannot wrap my head around, but I did. Post the big recession, you know, around 2008 or 9 or so, I did basically say to myself, I got to read more about this. I got to try to learn a bit more about this because this is not the first time in my lifetime that we've had. I mean, it's been the biggest recession ever and still is technically, but there have been other ones as well, too. And one of the things that's fascinating and that is not entirely a coincidence is they tend to happen more towards the end of U.S. Republican presidencies when you have like a full worldwide. There was one with the first George Bush that really kicked in sort of the second half of 91, roughly speaking, and lasted throughout 92 and went into 93 or so, and then slowly merged about it. Like, so many people talk about, oh, the 90s were the boom years. It's like, they did not start out that way. Very much did not start out that way at all. And then a few years later, as people said, hey, let's bring in another George Bush. Oh, look, at the end, I mean, with that, it was the end of, it was like 8 years of Reagan, 4 years of Bush, 12 years, with George Shrub as a, as his nickname is in Texas.
Oh.
I love that nickname. It's like, oh, this happened in 8 years. Now, there's lots of different reasons, policies, and things that going in. I'm not trying to say Democrats were all pure and innocent or anything like that. But in terms of setting the tone of doing the, well, let's just cut regulations and that'll make everything better. Hey, how did this poison end up in our drinking water? Oh, well, hey, I'd rather have a decent wage and worry about a little bit of toxic lead in the water.
Yeah, it's probably good. It's good roughage, that lead.
Yeah, that's not even that much of an exaggeration. Mm. I've read of a few things of people literally saying that. People who've gone on to die from much earlier from cancer and other things. It's like, yes, I'm pretty sure your grandkids would have liked you to stick around a little longer, but
it's almost, I mean, like we could benefit from listening to scientists. I don't know, whatever.
Yes, exactly. But then, of course, the next assumption, and yeah, it's a word that's going to be coming up a lot here, is, you know, well, science doesn't always know the answers. No, they don't. And they're admitting that. Like the beginning of, you know, this COVID thing that we've been having so much fun with.
The what now? Never heard of it.
Oh, fair enough. Well, you're out.
Hasn't affected my life in the slightest.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you're out there in the wilds of Western Australia, you know, unless it infects the kangaroos, it's not going to affect you, right?
Exactly. Koalas can't get it, so I'm fine.
Koalas get enough diseases as it is, from what I've heard.
They are filthy.
But, some people who were more resistant to the changes that were necessitated overall were saying, like, well, they changed their mind. First they said that masks weren't needed. Then they said that masks were. It's like, yes, this was in the early months when we were still learning about this new disease. That, yes, sometimes information gets updated. There's some things that they suspected were the case that they didn't want to go out and say, like in terms of how long this would last, you know, probably some of the higher up virologists were like saying, yeah, this is not going to go away soon. And at the time I remember like say roughly 2 years now, it was like, I'm pretty sure I still said things like, well, it's not going to go much into September, October, surely.
Yeah. Oh, we were so filled with hope.
Oh, 2020. Look,
luckily,
2020.
Luckily, it's all finished now, right, guys? Oh, worse than ever? Okay, cool.
Well, yeah, I know Australia, you guys have been hit really hard currently for the past few months.
Yeah, well, here in West Australia, we had our borders closed for a really good chunk of it, and then eventually it got to the point where we had to open the borders, and then basically it just exploded here. So we're doing worse than everywhere else because we were doing so well for so long, and now we're basically where all the other states and territories in Australia were, you know, like a year or a year and a half ago. We're through our spike now, supposedly, though, like our peak. So things are looking up, but there's we're working through it.
Right. But it's not an easy or fun thing to be working through, and especially
keeps ruining my life. Yeah.
The weird thing here right now is it's like, I get that we're all tired of this, especially here in Canada, because it's been well over 2 years, and you guys avoided, because you're probably Australia, not as well as, say, New Zealand, but was easier to isolate from the rest of the world, at least for a time, which is why I think, from what I can tell from the stats I've been, things I've been looking at. It's not doom scrolling, it's context scrolling. That's the key thing. But it's good to remember that, to not just say, all right, our death rate didn't go up as high.
Yeah.
Holy crap, that's a terrible sentence to say.
Right, I know. It's so bizarre to be like, oh, at least we only had 10 historical deaths today. I'm like, that's 10 people that died. That's no good at all.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, it's one of those weird, surreal moments of this weird, surreal decade that I don't, you know, we still don't know where it's all going. I mean, nothing ever ends in real life. It peters out or it does this, you know. I get it. I still think overall it will. I think at this point now it is slowly going down. But, I mean, one of the frustrating things I've found in Canada is that now most of the provinces are only giving out the data once a week, twice a week or so. So it's like middle of the week, Wednesday and Thursday, it's like suddenly the numbers for number of infections and number of deaths like spike hugely, and then and it's like, oh my god, 120, and then you realize, oh yeah, but that's still spread over in most cases. I think Ontario is one that still does it pretty close to daily, and I don't know if Quebec does or not. Maybe they're like more frequently, but not quite. BC has actually gotten down to just, I think, once or twice a week, and it's one of those things that I'm like, we could, I personally could stand up here a little more.
Yeah,
I would like to know just, getting the context and knowing.
It's a difficult thing to balance because it's something that so many people are just so sick of hearing about, but it's not like it's, just because we stopped talking about it doesn't mean it's not there and that your mom might not die.
And part of the other thing is, of course, is that it's more of a strain. It's been such a strain on resources and for in the medical, especially for medical financing and all that. So I can understand why it's like we have to pull back some stuff because we're already stretched out. I mean, we're still already stretched out in so many aspects. Like, I know Australia has at least some public form of public health care.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And I know, I honestly do not know that much about comparing different ones. I mean, part of the thing with Canada is just geographically, it's so easy to just say, well, let's compare ourselves to the States because they're right there, you know? And it's like, yeah, but sometimes it's better to compare with other countries that are English speaking, but are, well, Commonwealth countries, for lack of a better term.
Yes, all of us that worship the Queen, because I respect her, and as I'm sure you do, because it's the Jubilee right now, and she's great. She's so great, and she's done a lot for the world.
Yep. How come we haven't heard as much from Andy? You know, good old, he seems to be a little bit quieter now. Did something happen there?
Yeah, he's just laying low at the moment. He's playing it cool, you know?
Mumsy has said, go to your room.
Sit down. Malcolm, we're about to break the first rule of the podcast.
We are.
Because not only are we about to go over time, but we're actually about to take our first, I think, ever commercial break.
A commercial break. Well, why not? So, here's our commercial then. Okay. Are we ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Do you like Vegemite?
Yeah.
Well, then you're probably either Australian or a New Zealander. Do you like Marmite? Then you're probably from the United Kingdom or the disunited kingdom, as it's rapidly. For the rest of us, there's jam. Jam. Nothing wrong with it.
That's true. Jam. Nothing wrong with it.
Yes.
Have you ever tried Vegemite, Malcolm?
Yes, I have. I traveled in Australia, New Zealand. I did try Vegemite, and I tried Marmite when I lived in Britain, and I've heard the back and forths, and I'm like, no. Sorry. Okay.
That's fair. Look, Marmite is, I don't mind Marmite. Vegemite, I think, is very good. I enjoy taking it to Canada with me and making Canadians try it because it's either they love it or they're like, what have you done to me? Why have you done this?
What is this salty mess?
What is this salty tar you've just made me eat? I'm like, it's the best. And you got to be, you know, you got to be kind the first time. You give them a nice bit of toast or maybe a bagel, a little bit of butter on there. Just a thin smattering of Vegemite just so you get a taste for it, you know. And then you put it on thick. Oh, so good.
Yep. It's all right. So that was our commercial.
It's our commercial. Hey there, folks. Thanks so much for checking out the latest episode of Good Morning, Mrs. Strawberry. I hope you enjoyed it. If you did and you want to help us out and help the channel grow, make sure you like, subscribe wherever you get your good podcasts, and help us out by leaving a rating on those websites where you can leave ratings for podcasts. Also, if you'd like to check out some of the other stuff I've been doing, you can check out Cube Boy Collectibles. That's right. If you head to cubeboycollectibles.square.site, you can check out my art toys, art prints, skateboard decks, and other weird stuff I've been creating over the last year and a half. There's also stickers, button badges, postcards, and a whole bunch of other stuff. That's cubeboycollectibles.square.site. Check it out. I hope you like it. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Enjoy the rest of your lives.